Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, getting a little late start this morning. I slept in a little bit. First, we're going to read this story here. It says, Adult Friends. How to make adult friends. There are many humiliating things on an adult man must do to make up words for engine parts when talking to a mechanic, explain to a stripper that the ATM won't give him any more cash, and somehow convince a woman that this never ever happened before. Totally isn't because of her. The most humiliating, however, is trying to make a new friend. Here's why. Let's say you meet a cool guy at a party. He's obsessed as you are with Breaking Bad, spent his 20s in a punk band you liked, and lived in Moscow for 3 years. He cracks you up. He's super nice and seems totally and get everything you say. Starting to see the problem, you're halfway to writing a sonnet to the guy. If he were a girl, or if you were a girl, you both were gay, or even if you were a girl and you were gay, but willing to make an exception, then you just ask him out. But what do you do? What excuse do you have for hanging out with out again? You're an adult. You don't have play dates unless you golf, have a regular poker game, or can come up with the business to start together. There's no reason to see him again. What are we supposed to say? Here's my card. If you ever want to go drink or dinner or not have sex, text me. It's so difficult to make friends as an adult that men have to invent fantasy football. Women make new friends all the time. That's because women are always doing stuff that requires large groups. They get drinks. They have book clubs. They go out to nice restaurants. They shop. They get along, they get their nails done. If romantic comedies are accurate, they constantly attend art gallery openings. Men hardly do anything. There are lots of reality shows about groups of female friends who hang out and get into vicious arguments with one another. There are no reality shows about groups of guys' friends because it would require a split screen showing a bunch of guys at home masturbating, who didn't even draw enough viewers to keep Charlotte popular on the internet. It became even more difficult to make friends as soon as you started getting girlfriends, because now you don't have to go along with the other guy. People have to get along with one another. To give you an idea how unlikely that is, the NBA, you have to go back to 1974 Knicks. In the family, you have to go back to when your sister was a fetus. So, yes, making friends is hard. But the truth is, it's always been hard. We cowered behind our mom as she asked our kindergarten buddy over for a play date. Having a junior high friend over to your family's house for a dinner for the first time was nerve-wracking. The only reason we made friends in college is because the guys were right there all the time in the same dorm. All we had to say was, do you want to do the thing I happen to be about to do? Plus, there was that thing was drinking. And no, men do not need friends like women and children do. When women have a problem, they talk to their friends. When men have a problem, we solve the problem. We do alone things, like hunt deer, play online poker, and whittle. There are no whittling circles. If men had happily survived for a week in the woods without talking to anyone, as Bear Grylls has proven. So if there's a camera around, he will apparently talk to it incessantly. Still, we need to make the effort to make new friends, because men because man friends are awesome. Men friends can lead to delightful trouble and deep, if slightly conservative, life lessons, according to every buddy movie. You need a Bob Hope to get you on the road, a Steve Martin to keep you alive while on the road, and a Zach Galifianakis, absolutely never. When you get a guy in trouble, fun things happen. When you get a girl in trouble, it's just a bad 70s Bruce Springsteen song. Basically, without buddies, we become video game playing, internet surfing, sports watching homebodies, which is not an attractive look. Neither is winding up in a Mexican prison with genital warts, but at least you have a story to tell your kids. We have no excuse for not making new friends, since we have the perfect guys right in front of us. Or sure, we're competing with some of them for promotions, and sure, there's a good chance they'll quit. So committing to the friendship with them is a little like befriending a kid in school whose dad worked for an oil company. But we have so much in common, like hating our boss, and the banner we build up in meetings when our boss says stupid things, and the funny emails we send each other after our boss sends a clueless email. The point is, we should be our own boss for a bit. When we stop making friends, we stop trying new things, we stop thinking thoughts, and we stop being boys. We stop, in essence, being the kind of person somehow you'd want to be friends with. If you can't ask a coworker out in this cowardly age of text and Facebook messages, then go old school. Have your mom call his, even if stuff between you guys doesn't work out. There's no doubt your mom will wind up with yet another friend. Okay. It's time for a drink of water. Hold on a second. Water time. Here it goes. Okay, does the enemy wear underoos? As people grow older, the list of must-have and potential mates grows exponentially shorter. So, when I decided to get back into a serious relationship, I had three things I required in a man. Two of them were huge testicles. The other, that those testicles produced absolutely nothing except shock and awe from those who had seen them. That's right, I wanted a guy with no kids, and it was something I would not compromise on. I was determined to be the only whiny, spoiled brat in my next relationship. Every new partner you hook up with brings along some baggage. It could well be self-doubt, jealousy, clinginess, fear of commitment, but sometimes it's the type of baggage that has freckles, SpongeBob's underoos, and a truck full of toys. No, not Carrot Top, a child. As the producer of 16 and Pregnant can attest, even more single moms out there than ever before, whether through divorce or choice or drunken Kappa Delta mixers, a surprising number of single women are dragging tousle-haired, nose-picking germ machines behind them. Some guys avoid chicks with kids the way Mel Gibson avoids Hanukkah. This is a mistake, fellas. Dating is tough enough. Why reject an otherwise good prospect just because she squeezed out an ankle biter a few years back? But dating a woman who's already has a kid or two, or 14 in the case of Octomom, can be a challenge. There's no bonding, no unconditional love. That basically dating a MILF with a gonad goalie intent on keeping you from puck out of mom's net. However, there are some definite pros to dating a woman with kids. So you know if you're really ready to be someone's real dad, not real daddy. Since I'm nothing if not a cynical Sally, let's start with the cons. Whenever you go out with Ms. Mom, that or you stay in. It means the only doggy style you'll be watching is Beethoven 7 with her and her little human chastity belt. If you go the babysitter route, it can be still suck. You both spend the whole night looking at your watches. She makes sure she's not going to be late, and you make sure she's not too sure how much time you have left to bang her somewhere between the restaurant and the front door. More often than not, you drop $200 on dinner, get a peck on the cheek, and by 10 o'clock on Saturday night, your big date is over. She goes home well-fed, and you end up jerking off to the next Fred Willard in a porno theater. Forbid. Things get serious, and you want them to take a vacation together. Guess who's tagging along? Forget that week of debauchery and hedonism in Jamaica with unlimited booze, food, and sex on the beach. Instead, it's a week at Disney World with unlimited complaining, crying, and pants crapping. Instead of sailing across the crystal blue waters of the Caribbean in a catamaran, you're spinning around in a freaking teacup. And believe me, with the kid around, the only thing you'll be banging on the beach will be your head on one of the volleyball posts for agreeing to celebrate the sabbatical in the first place. So, should you take the first bus out of toddler town? Not so fast, Captain Kid-Hater. There are many pluses that Mama has minuses. Dating a chick with a kid isn't perfect if you're in a relationship purely for sex, because that's all she'll have time for. Juggling motherhood and a career doesn't leave a woman enough time to make you sit through the Real Housewives marathon. Being with Mama Maddox practically guarantees sex. There's no way she can play the saving myself for marriage card when there's living proof. When there's living proof of her sexual activity sitting next to her humming the Barney theme song while eating his own boogers. Dating an unmarried mommy is also a good way to keep your independence. If you mention to mommy that you're thinking of jetting to Vegas for a weekend, then Woody Harrelson packs a hash pipe. Suddenly, your weekend of strip clubs and gambling has become a romantic getaway full of Cirque du Soleil and couples massages. A mom, however, will have kids in her head to take care of and leaving you free to spend the next 2 days in a hangover-style frenzy. So don't sweat it. If a kid's part of her package, just roll with it. They're cute, they're amusing, and they already got a dad that can take them to take their resentment out on, not you, out on. Don't look at a kid as a mood killer. Look at him as this little noisy butler who will get you a beer out of mommy's fridge for a quarter. True, I decided that no kid squeals, no problems. But you might want to give a woman with a kid a shot. Counts having a child as one of the special miracles of the world. Besides chocolate and weight loss surgery and Lindsay Lohan being sober. And with a kid, remember, you'll always have someone to play Xbox with when it's mom's time of the month. Okay, here we go. Questions. My girlfriend gives variation of from the side, minimal variation, little eye contact, forget the balls, I do blowjobs. I've told her what I like, but she makes only a passing effort to change. She says it's too hard to do it that way. She admits she should make more of an effort, but gets bored after 2 minutes. How can I get a blowjob I deserve? If it were a matter of instruction, I would be fine, but she needs an attitude adjustment. We can share your plenty of techniques. Our library is full of creative books on the subject. But if your girlfriend developed an arsenal of mouth maneuvers, it would do little good if in the long run she has no interest in what turns you on. She's not taking advantage of what Deborah McLeod said in her guide, Lip Service. She calls the most erotically useful part of the female body. Giving head is boring unless your partner is clearly excited about what you're doing. My suggestion is that you make sure your girlfriend is very aroused before she starts and becomes very aroused as she's going down on you. You could try 69, that requires focus. Instead, use a vibrator to stimulate her, and the kit also apply a vibrator to you and slip on a cock ring or take a break by applying a masturbation sleeve. Once the oral sex is a feedback loop, you may soon discover her reading in bed. Okay. My girlfriend and I met online years ago. We talked about meeting in real someday, but in the meantime, we have fantastic phone sex. She uses a dildo named after me, and I have a pocket pussy I named after her. After every orgasm, she lets out a sexy yawn that seems to be proportional to the intensity of her climax. Do other women do this, and do other couples find phone sex as exhilarating as we do? Yawning when you're aroused isn't unusual. Natural reaction that we imagine is prompted by the same mechanism of relaxation and release that comes with people who unexpectedly laugh or weep or sneeze during sex. Walter Schrutens, a chasmologist, scientist who studies yawning, and author on Yawning, The Hidden Sexuality of Human Yawns, says your girlfriend reaction is likely to result from overabundance of neurotransmitter oxytocin. He notes that the pleasure of a good yawn and a stretch has been compared to a mini climax. He also notes that yawning accompanied by sudden ejaculation has been observed in cases of rabies and heroin withdrawal. That's for another day. Our fallacy about yawns as climaxes is a sign of successful conception. Clearly, that is not the case here. While sneezing, he said to me, indicate the opposite. I'm in his 1890 book, Physiognomy and Expression. He suggested yawning expresses, especially in women, the need of physical love. As for phone sex, many couples enjoy it, though perhaps not for 4 years. Who are you afraid of? So, let's see. In July, August issue, a reader asked a question about the name of a porn movie. If you recall, only that the former wore Stars and Stripes bikini, and in the background music was playing was the Grand Old Flag. I laughed at the idea that anyone could, even the advisor could identify an adult film on such scant information. When I read the question to my husband, he replied without looking up, "Stiff Competition, 1985. I guess everyone has a hobby." That's uncanny. Was he in it? My wife and I live in a small town. I'm signing this letter with a large city nearby. Our property is isolated, and we tend to certain outdoor chores and activities in the nude. we worry about unexpected guests. Could we be charged with indecent exposure if they can only be seen by someone who's on our property? That seems unlikely, though it doesn't matter where anyone is standing. Fully exposed flesh need only cause as Alabama's law puts it, affront or alarm. You'd seem to have a better defense if the visitor surprised you if you were entered the door naked or pressed yourself against a window, but much depends on the zealousness of local law enforcement. In 2010, prosecutors in Fairfax, Virginia, charged a man with passersby claim could be seen through his kitchen window in the mornings making coffee in the nude. He was acquitted. In most states, there must be a formal complaint, and in a few, there must also be from the opposite sex. A handful of states, including yours, might require those convicted of indecent exposure to register as sex offenders. That seems far-fetched in this situation, but we don't live in a small town. Okay, got time for a couple more letters. My 20-year-old daughter started to describe herself as pansexual. She says it means she's open to love and attraction from any adult, whether it's male, female, gay, or straight. Is this a new idea? I like her open-mindedness, but I wonder if she's trying to be, if she's just trying to be different. She's trying everything. Pansexualism is also known as omnisexualism or homosexualism. It's an attempt to look beyond the gender binary and sexual orientation. It sounds noble in theory, but usually has no practical application beyond starting a discussion in a college classroom. Even the idea of transgender doesn't fit into the context because it acknowledges gender. Some aspiring universal swingers reject them, even label pansexuals as too limiting. Politically, minority groups such as BDSM community on the persecution as a way to unite Americans in a description of fight for all civil rights. Your daughter will be fine. I'm a 22-year-old college student, and I've been watching Fred Astaire films and all the gents that have cool cigarette cases. I bought one polished to gold, just in case that fits inside my pocket. Is that stylish cigarette case coming getting tacky? Not at all. Will you fill it with cigarettes? Views have changed on those. If you don't smoke, it might appear a little affected, like wearing a pocket watch that doesn't run. Well, I think that's probably all we can get in for today. Thanks for listening. Have a great day, great night, wherever you are. See you next time, and bye. Thanks for your support in everything. This is Ralph signing off from Blog Talk.